Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Now, firstly, could you tell us a bit more about what your inquiry was about?
Well, it's fairly wide-ranging. I mean, I've been involved in nearly all these toll road projects for quite some years now, but the specific point that you have mentioned about toll saturation was actually not based on work we did for WestConnex, but based on a general concern I've had over many years that as we add additional toll road links into what is already becoming quite an extensive and complex network of toll roads, the normal basis in which people will decide whether they'll use it or not is the extent to which the additional toll will deliver them time savings that are better than the free alternative routes. However, given people's incomes and the amount that they budget towards travel and all other aspects of expenditure, food, etc., housing, we know there's a limit beyond which it's just too expensive to spend huge amounts on tolls. People who live in the northern parts of Sydney, northwest in particular, it's not unusual if they work in the CBD to spend $4,000 or $5,000 a year on tolls. And there comes a point when they're saying, "Well, we can no longer justify this, despite the fact that they have a claimed time savings." So the result of this is that you get what we've called a toll saturation effect, which is another way of saying that because the expenditure constraint is now reached, people's values of travel time savings are actually lower than what are assumed in justifying the travel benefits of investing in toll roads as you add additional toll roads. This is an issue that's particularly concerning for more recent toll roads that are being constructed and indeed those that are being planned into the future, that have we actually got the value of travel time savings wrong? And interestingly, there is a correlation between this comment, where the values should be significantly lower, and the errors in the forecast of patronage, especially in the first 5 years when these toll roads are open, which typically have forecasts that are way above what actually happened. In toll roads, we often talk about up to 50% higher than what we observe.
Right. It looks like that WestConnex is in for some real issues. I didn't realise that tolls could clock up such massive, massive costs for people already travelling on the roads, which is a costly endeavour on its own. Now, looking further into the inquiry, you told the inquiry that predictions for WestConnex will result in 40-minute cuts for travel time for motorists driving from Parramatta to Sydney Airport. You said that those were incorrect and unrealistically ambitious. You cited that there was often a huge amount of error in WestConnex estimations, exposing many oft-cited predictions as ill-calculated. Could you expand a little bit more on these statements and tell us about some of these errors going on?
Certainly. Well, I think it's a more general point. It's not specifically having a go at WestConnex. It's a concern about the veracity and reliability of the methods that have been used by the consultants and others, including government, to forecast demand. It's an inexact science. It's almost an art to some extent, and it's fraught with errors. One of the big problems we find is that the claimed time savings are often not there. In Sydney, the biggest issue is that we just have underinvestment in infrastructure across the board in transportation. And I don't just mean roads, I mean public transport. And so as a consequence, we're in a catch-up mode. And most of the benefits of building this infrastructure under the existing tolls, and I'll talk about that in a sec, is such that the claimed travel time savings are unlikely to be there because the amount of traffic that's keen to use these roads, given the shortage of good infrastructure, is such that it'll build up to a level for the existing toll that's not going to deliver the time benefits that people expect. So what I'm really saying is that many of the toll roads that we've been building in recent years are just buying a few years of growth before they then return to high levels of traffic with the existing tolls. And if we actually believe that people will choose toll roads to save time, then we need to reflect that in terms of the toll that should be charged that can be dynamically adjusted to reflect a guaranteed improvement in travel time. And we're not getting that. And as many people would know, when you travel on toll roads in the peaks in Sydney, you're often getting a lot of congestion and you're wondering whether it's value for money. It still could be better than the free alternative, but it's still not good enough. So 40 minutes, and I think the 40 minutes was an example used at the inquiry from Parramatta to the airport. And to be honest, that number, which maybe have been plucked out of the air as an unfortunate example, is just not going to happen. You might get a 10-minute saving. But then again, as I said in the inquiry, well, if you're talking about 40 minutes, well, maybe if you travel during the night when there's no traffic on the roads, you might get a decent number. But if you're traveling in the peak, which is often when these numbers are cited, that's just pie in the sky. The business plan mentioned an average of about 15 minutes saving overall, no matter where you're coming or going from. And they had a range of different examples, which were typically all 15 minutes. You know, to me, that's at the upper end of the likely time saving. And what we have to understand in these business plans that they should be reporting the range of likely time savings instead of just one number. So some people are going to save nothing. Some are going to save 15 minutes. Some might even save 20, but the majority might only save 5 minutes. The question is, what does this mean in terms of benefit costs? And the benefit cost analysis typically just takes averages in doing its calculations. So it needs to do some sensitivity testing to show that the benefit cost could be much, much higher or my expectation, much more lower than is reported in the business plan. But my final comment on this, if I could, is that the major failing, and it wasn't reported in the media, and it was something I talked about a lot at the inquiry, is that the toll levels are wrong. The toll levels need to be adjusted and not simply based on an agreed toll whenever the consortium won, plus an indexation, which is typically CPI. And I'm delighted to see even the government is suggesting that we should have greater flexibility in setting the tolls. Unfortunately, the way in which these projects are evaluated leading to a bid offer is that they're all premised on a fixed toll that's indexed, and that doesn't recognise that over time the congestion changes. And if you want to do something about delivering true time savings based on people's values of travel time saving, then you should adjust the toll to reflect this. Having said that, and this is very important, if that then results in a huge stream of traffic going onto the free routes as a result of that toll being increased to reflect time savings if you pay for the toll, you're almost back to square one with having network congestion that's worse than it was before. And the final point I'd like to say for your listeners is that the toll roads are only part of the network. And if we're to get an efficient pricing strategy for the whole network to improve flow, not just on the toll roads, then we need to have greater control by government in setting those tolls. And at the moment, the tolls are determined by an agreed concession that was made some time ago, and it's out of whack with what I believe is what we're trying to do. We're not trying to, and we should not be trying to, maximise the commercial return to the toll road companies, even though they must have a reasonable return on their investment. The objective of doing this is to provide efficiency to the network as a whole, so society believes that we're getting value for money.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this does all unfold. A lot of issues you've just brought up, David, and I think a lot of people were already concerned about WestConnex, and I think they're going to become even more concerned after hearing what you've said. Thanks so much for joining me this morning to, I guess, give us some realities.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.